Larry wanted me to share that there were 31 in Sunday school this morning, so that's a praise. Thank you, Larry. Announcements. Flower sign-up sheet is on the bulletin board in the hallway, so that's back there if you want to sign up to provide flowers. Flowers today, special. Brother Tim and Amy's anniversary today, so happy anniversary. It's when?
13th.
So we got it wrong. It's the 13th. Well, mine, or I should say Shauna, and mine is tomorrow. So, hey, I thank her for putting up with me all these years. I certainly got the better end of the deal. I know that Tim did. Okay, let's see what else. Sissy, choir practice tonight. What time? 5:30. 5:30 choir practice. Hey, y'all come help us. Anybody singing in the choir? Come on and help us out. We would love to have you. Don't forget upcoming events. Valentine's Day will be February 14th. Men, y'all. Don't forget, February 14th. Huh? Also, share with all your friends, men, that we have Standing in the Gap Men's Ministry. February the 15th on Thursday, we always cook and eat, and it's a man thing. We eat man food, and we have devotion, and it's a good program for the men. That'll be February 15th. That'll be Thursday. Yeah, Thursday, February 15th. And here's something. February the 25th, from Valdosta State University Baptist Collegiate Ministries, will be with us for the evening service. And we'll take up a love offering for that ministry that night to help with their mission. And the name of their mission is Send Me Now. We will have a time of food and fellowship after that service, so come join us for that. I don't know if I left anything out. Anything else?
Birthdays. Birthdays.
Well, we're just about to get there. Are you going to sing for us this morning?
I will.
Okay, do we have any birthdays here this morning? I can't hear good, so you have to.
Miss Amy.
Colin.
Amy.
I thought we sang to you. Did we get you last week? We did.
No, last week.
So you got married close to your birthday, huh? Well, happy birthday and anniversary. Well,
Colin,
you told me. She came back and told me we had a birthday in the back. Colin, happy birthday. So let's sing.
Curtis.
I told you I can't hear. C-U-R-T-I-S. Well, happy birthday, son. All right, let's sing happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. All right. We're going to sing some hymns until they come back in with us. So before we start, Brother Howard, do you mind leading us in prayer, please?
Father God, it's just a blessing to start the worship service with the baptism. Lord, we just thank you for Paul. We thank you for his life. We just pray, Lord, that we'll all glorify you. And Lord, we pray that we'll support Paul in his ministry, his life, and we just want to give you the praises and glory. Lord, we come to you this morning thanking you for the Sunday school hour, for all the teachers. We thank you for our church and what it stands for, Lord. We just pray that we'll be found faithful. our thoughts and may we worship you in honesty and in truth and full reverence. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.
Amen. Let's sing a few hymns until they come in. Let's start with hymn 138. If you're looking in the hymn, it'll be Calvary 138. I think it'll be on the...
Thank you.
will be hymn 384, The Bond of Love. If you'll please stand if you can. And if you just look over and smile at your neighbor and say, good to see you. Happy to be here. They love you. The Bond of Love.
Thank you. brother Paul, as he comes to join us, Paul is our brother in Christ. And Lord, be with Brother Tim as he brings a message. May we have open minds, souls, and hearts. And I love you, people of all, and glorify your name and do your will. In Heavenly Father's name I pray. Amen.
You know, the Lord knows we're not perfect, but He is. And He is. So that's on me. I did that. Before we started sober, I do want to say something. This was a request that we do this morning, and it's one of my favorite songs. It just tells a story of being lost and the Lord watching you out there from a distance. And knowing everything that's going on, but then one day it happens and you get saved. So this is a story of salvation.
I was lost. I was lost. I was. Yeah.
We could just have an invitation right now, amen. Thank you, Brother Aaron and Sean. Appreciate all that you do. If you take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of 1 John. 1 John. I'll be looking at chapter 4. Just want to let you know this morning, if you're alone, if you're feeling alone, if you feel like you're unloved, can I tell you that God loves you? God loves you. I love you, and this church loves you. But as we think about this week, and we know that Wednesday of this week is what day, guys? Valentine's, right? You better not forget it either. Amen. God's greatest Valentine he could have gave to you and me was his son. He gave the greatest gift, Valentine's gift of any time or any era throughout history. He gave his one and only son. And he did so because he loved each and every one of us enough that he thought, whether your mom and dad thought you were worth it, or your co-workers think you're worth it, or whoever, that doesn't even matter whether they think you're worth it. And God loved you enough that he sent his son down the cross for you. There is no greater love that anyone could have than for a person to lay down their life for somebody else. But God did that for you. When we think about this Wednesday, we think that, there's a lot of money that's spent around Valentine's Day. I looked it up. You can go home and Google it, and you'll find out that for last year around Valentine's Day, there was about $25.9 billion spent on Valentine's Day. Or for Valentine's Day. Why do people go out and do that? Because who do you give a Valentine to? Somebody you hate? Somebody you don't like? Now, I know when we was in elementary school, and I know I said we was, you know. When we were in elementary school, remember, because y'all still do it today, probably have kids, you go to Walmart, you buy a box that has how many things in it, Valentine cards, and you take them home, you got to fill each and every one of them out. And you're made to walk around class and give them to people you don't like, right? We know that. But we do it generally because we give Valentine's to people we love. People we care about. People that mean something to us. We show our affection to them by giving them some type of gift. Something that they would appreciate. Jesus did that for us. When we didn't deserve it, when we couldn't earn it, when there was no good in us whatsoever, God took initiative and God loved us first. This passage that we're going to read this morning, outside of John 3:16, which we're going to read it to, we find is probably the greatest love statement that is spoken of in the Word of God. So let's just go ahead and read it this morning. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. It says, "Beloved, let us love who? One another. For love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is what? Love. In this, the love of God was manifested or shown or put on display toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought
to love one another. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, as we dive into your word this morning, God, I pray through the power of the Holy Spirit that you would use, Lord, your word to convict us, to cause celebration, to bring us to where we realize, Lord, we need a Savior. We need to first experience your love before we can love anyone else. Lord, I pray this morning that you would just move in our hearts and minds. Lord, help us to leave this place knowing first and foremost that we are loved by you and that you have done everything that was necessary for us to come into a relationship with you so that we can spend all eternity in heaven with you. But then, Lord, as a result of that, our actions should be love towards others. Lord, have your way as only you can. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we mentioned this a minute ago, John 3:16, that says, for God so, what? Love. Who? The world. Is he talking about the rocks and the hills and the trees? Well, it could be, but I don't think so. I think he's talking about God, for God so loved you and I. Every person on this earth that has ever been conceived in the womb is loved by God. Amen? Every single person on this earth, whether they ever took a breath or not, is loved by God. Because God so loved the world. And then it goes on to say that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever does what? Believes. You see, a lot of people, a lot of religions say you've got to do all these jump through hoops and stand on your head and hold your breath for 5 hours underneath water. That ain't going to happen, right? You've got to do all these things so that you can be acceptable to God. You know what my Bible tells me? My only requirement for salvation is to believe in God's Son, that he is God's Son, that he came and lived a perfect life, that he died on the cross for sins you and I committed, that he was buried in the tomb and 3 days later rose again. Amen? Anything other than that is heresy. Anything other than adding to or taking away from the gospel makes the gospel of no effect. Now, here's the reality of it. When I trust Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I accept the love of God because love is a gift, right? I don't have to receive a gift. You don't have to receive a gift. You can say, well, I don't like you. I don't want it. God offers his gift of love to whoever will receive it. But you see, there's a world full of people who don't believe God, they don't believe Jesus, and they will not receive the gift that God offers to them. John 3:16 goes on to say that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You see, John 3:16 illustrates God's love for us. When we look back at 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7, it tells us, beloved, let us love one another. Now, we sometimes do that pretty good, don't we? It's easy to love mom and daddy. They should have a following that well. Amen? It's easy to love your kids. They should have a following that well. It's easy to love your best friends if they haven't been talking behind your back. You see, all these things we find it easy to do, right? But what about those who are hard to love? Jesus didn't say we had to like them. He said we had to love them. Amen? He said, let us love one another. When we look at this passage, we realize that loving in God's ways is not an emotion. Well, I hate to ask this question. If you've been married for very long, I'm just going to put this like this. If you've been married very long, has every day been just a lovey-dovey type day? No. Love is a commitment, right? Love is a covenant that whether I get up and leave my socks on the floor, amen? It's not the end of the world, right? We can still love one another. We can still get along. We can still be happy, but we have to choose to love and we have to choose to forgive. Amen? Because if we don't choose to love and choose to forgive, we're in trouble. Our marriage is in trouble. Our family's in trouble. And our families is the basic unit of civilization. And as the family goes, so goes the nation. We wonder what's going on in America. Just look at home. Because love, true love, is not shown. The love the world talks about today is an emotional feel-good type love. Can I tell you the truth this morning? That lovey, feel-good type love is only temporary. As the old saying goes, when the honeymoon's over, it's over. But you got to choose to love beyond that. Amen. There is more to love than just simply the love, the lovey-dovey feel-good stuff. We have to choose to love. Beloved, let us love one another. Look around us in the world. Turn on the TV the afternoon or even the news. Just for 5 minutes, and you're going to find a world full of hate. You're going to find a world that is trying to destroy families. It is a world full of hate towards God and towards one another. Our Congress, the people who are supposed to be leading us, are supposed to be pulling together for the same reason, but they're driving us apart. That they're not teaching us to love, they're teaching us to hate. But my Bible tells me, Jesus said, a house divided cannot stand. You see, we have to bring it to the point where we trust in Jesus Christ and Christ alone for our salvation. Verse 8 tells us the reason. The reason we ought to love one another is because God loved us. God is love. He that loveth and knoweth not God, for God is love. In other words, what it's saying is simply this. People that don't love, there's a reason. And I'm sad to say this, but this happens a lot in churches today, and it's scary. But you know, I'm not going to be afraid to tell the truth. A lot of people claim to love God, but they hate a whole bunch of people. My Bible says if you claim to love God and you hate people, you got a disconnect between you and God. Amen? You got a disconnect because if you truly understand the love that God has for you, how can you not love someone else? Well, verse 7, we have an explanation of God's love. There are different translations of the word love. Are different meanings of the word we use today is love, because today we just group everything together and call it love. If you like your dog, what do you say? I love my dog. Do you really love him? Probably love him better than do anybody else, right? If you got cats, I'm sorry for you. I don't know. I'm just kidding. You see, we say we might like Domino's, but we love to go to where?
Pizza.
There you go. Pizza Hut there. That would have been my choice, Pizza Hut. You see, there's things we say we love, but they don't understand love. They can't respond to love. They can't show love back. And we say we love all these things, and that's what the world paints as love. They paint everything as some feeling of satisfaction to you. But God tells us to love one another, to love each other. Because in Scripture, when it tells us to love, this word that's translated here is agape, which means unconditional, and I'll get more into that in just a moment. But when we look at the passage, we realize that love that God gives to us and that God shows to us is unlike any of the world's love. Because we can love one another as friends, as church members, as the body of Christ. We can have a love for our neighbor. But that's a Philadelphia love. That is a lover, a flavored love. That is a brotherly type love. But God wants us to go further than that with agape love. There's the eros love that comes from the Greek that we get the word erotic from. That is a love of a sexual nature. And guess what? The world wants to paint you on TV. As long as you're sleeping around with everybody in the whole world, you're going to find love. Can I tell you that's not true? That is not true. But God tells us to love unconditionally because of who He is. Verse 7 says, for God is love. For God is love. It's not just a sentimental type love. It's not a sexual love. It's not a societal or brotherly type love. It is agape. That means it is unnatural. It doesn't come natural. But that's the kind of love God shows us. And that's the kind of love God wants us to show to each other. Why does the world not know the difference between us and them? It's because maybe we don't show them. Maybe we don't show them what true love really is. Verse 7, the third part of that verse says, and everyone that loves is born of God. You see, here again, we cannot show the world love until we first know the love of God ourselves. Because until we realize how filthy, how worthless I am, you are, then we can never understand the type of love that God shows to us. When I realize just how sinful I am, because you know, I just challenge you to do this week. Try to live every day without sinning. Just try. In your thoughts, in your time that you spend and what you spend it on, in your money and everything else about your life, you just keep track this week and try to live one day without sinning against God. You know what I find? The harder I try, the more I mess up. And the more I mess up, the more I realize that when God demands perfection in that bullseye to hit it every single time, and I can't even hit it the first time, I realize just how desperate myself is. And how I can do nothing to change the state that I'm in, because the harder I try, the more I mess up. But God loves with unconditional love. He shows us His love through His Son. We sang this song a while ago, we are one in the bond of love. And as I thought about that song, as I was preparing the sermon this week, I was thinking about how because God loves us, it is His love that binds all believers together. And if we can't love one another, then we got a serious problem. Because either we don't know God or we're just pure outlaws. And if you don't know God, you are lost. Amen? Because you need to have that relationship with Him. So, what is the evidence of our love? What is the evidence of our love? Because our love proves our salvation. And I'll touch some more on this in just a minute. If you look over in your Bible to 1 John chapter 5 in verses 1 and 2, listen to what this says. It says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves Him, meaning Christ, or God the Father, Him who begot also loves Him who is begotten of Him. So you got God the Father and God the Son. By this we know that we love the children of God. When we do what? Love God and keep His commandments. What are the two greatest commandments? Y'all help me out. I forgot. Love God and love others. And Jesus said the whole law hangs on these two things. In other words, when I love God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, I'm not going to worship false gods. I'm not going to build idols. I'm not going to neglect the Sabbath day to keep it holy. I'm not going to do those things. And when I love my neighbor as myself, I'm not going to steal from him, cheat on him, run around on his wife. I'm not going to do all those things. Amen? Because I love him. I love God. John 13:35 says, by this all will know you are my disciples if you have love for who?
One another.
If you have love for one another. So my question today is, how are we loving? One of the first things that Paul writes about in Galatians chapter 5 when he gets to the fruit of the Spirit, he said the fruit of the Spirit is what? First one, love. Now, God's going to work in you to produce all those fruits, amen? But one of the very first ones that should be evident in our lives is the love that we have for God and the love that we have for one another. We talked about this Wednesday night. I know not everyone was here Wednesday night, but Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44, Jesus said this, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for them who spitefully use you and persecute you. Man. So, who are we supposed to love? Just our family? Just our close friends? No, we are to love everyone. Because God loves us. Evidence of God's love. Verses 8 and 9 of 1 John chapter 4. This is what it says. He who does not love God does not know God, because or for God is love. And this love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. That is the evidence of God's love. He didn't just say he loves us, right? How many of you told somebody this week you love them? Yeah, we can say that all day long, but if it doesn't show up in our words, what does it mean? I mean, if it doesn't show up in our actions, I've got that back. If we can say it all week long if we want to, every day, every hour of every day, but if it's not backed up by our actions, then it's just words. It's just words. We've all heard the cliche, actions speak louder than words. You see, God showed his love. He gave us the evidence. He didn't just talk about it. He showed it to us. When we look at 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20, listen to this. Because this is what I was alluding to a while ago when we said that sometimes the church can be full of these type of people who say they love everybody. And any time, I'm just giving you a fair warning. If you come up to me and tell me you just love everybody, I'm probably going to tune you out from there on, because we all struggle, and I hope to meet somebody someday, but I'm sure that will be when I get to heaven, who can love everybody perfectly. Amen. Listen to what this verse says. First John 4:20. He says, if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, and can I add sister, right? Because we know in this time frame it was written in a, what do you call it? Y'all help me out. Masculine, right? That's how they put it. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a what? Now, I didn't say that, okay? I'm not calling you a liar. But if you hate somebody, guess what the Bible's calling you? A liar. He is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? In other words, if you can see somebody every single day and then come around and say, I hate that person. What does that say about your relationship with God when you don't even see God every day? And God's going to do things sometimes that's going to make you mad. Amen? Things are going to happen in your life you're not going to understand. You're going to say, God, why did you do that? And this is the commandment that we have from him, that he who loves God must also love his brother. You see, why would God want us to do that? God wants us to show others his love. What greater witness do we have than when we truly love each other? But if we can't get along in the church and we can't get along outside of the four walls of this church, then we've got troubles and the world's watching. The world's watching. They're saying, man, he says he's a Christian, but man, he sure talks bad about so-and-so. Listen. We see God's provision in his son. But I want us to think about something too as we pray. God's gift goes to everyone. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In other words, when we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, He saves us, but it's also his desire for others to come to know him as his Lord, our Lord and Savior. When it talks about a price, you see, the price we pay for our wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. Wages of sin is death. We miss the mark because we can't love God perfectly and we can't love each other perfectly. Right? We can try all we want to, but it's not going to happen. But God sent his Valentine to pay the price for our sins. We also see the extent of God's love, because agape love is undeserved. Now, Cassie, you're going to find out this shortly, but if you've had a kid, and think about this for just a moment. Or you as a kid. When you were first born, could you do anything to earn the love of your parents? Could you do anything for yourself? Could you do anything for them? But what did your parents do? Hopefully they loved you, regardless. I know with our children, we love them, and we would have done anything in the world for them. If it would have required it, we would have done it. But here's the thing, as we think about this for this moment. So many times we go through life and we think, well, I've got to get my life right before I can give it to the Lord. I got to clean up first. Can I tell you, there's no way you can make God love you any more than he does right now. Amen? And you know what the good thing is? If I'm saved and I'm in the grace of God, that doesn't give me a license to sin, but when I sin, God's not going to kick me out. Because there's nothing I can do that makes God love me any less than he does right now. You see, when he gave his Valentine, his son Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, he paid the debt in full. He paid that price, and all we have to do is place our faith and trust in him and believe who he says he is and that he did what he says he did, and trust him for our salvation. There's nothing I could do to earn God's love. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ did what? He died for us. He died for me. He died for you. Did you deserve it? Did I deserve it? No. Could you earn it? No. Mm-hmm. He paid that sin debt so that you and I could be set free. But there's a choice. There's a choice. Because God's love is undeserved, it is also a unconditional love. It is the ultimate love, but it is a love that has to be accepted. It's a love that has to be accepted. God loves me, and he loves you, but you have to make that choice. Do you believe it? Are you going to put your faith and trust in it? You see, Jesus paid the ultimate price when he laid down his life for us. John 15:13. But this is something I want to leave you with today. And it's simply this. God's love is unending. God's love is unending. You see, I'm not foolish enough to think for a moment that all human love lasts forever, because it doesn't. I mean, we want it to. Might have great intentions. But oftentimes, human love ends. But with God's love, it lasts forever. If you'll take your Bibles and turn over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, I want us to read about God's love. Because oftentimes we doubt God's love, don't we? Maybe we've struggled with something for years and years, and by the time we think we've got it conquered, it shows up again. Amen? And we think, how can God keep on loving me because of what I've done? Well, if you've ever thought those thoughts, then I want you to read this passage and write it down and keep it in the front of your mind. Romans chapter 8, verse 38. This is what Paul writes. He says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. That means that nothing on this earth, and I know I've heard old excuse that some people want to use, where you can separate yourself from God. Really? If God's got you in hand, my Bible says no one can snatch you out of it. No one. So the reality of it is, there's nothing on this earth, there's nothing in the heavens, on the earth or under the earth or anywhere, there's no power strong enough to be able to separate you from God's love. Man, what a great Valentine. God loves you. And God loves you just enough that he sent his son. He did something about it. He didn't just speak it in words and write it on a piece of paper. He sent it paid in full. Amen? When Jesus died on the cross, what more could somebody give than their life for me and you? My question to you today is, have you accepted the love, the Valentine that God has sent to you through his son, Jesus Christ? Have you accepted it for yourself? Have you believed in his work that he did on this earth and on the cross and after rising from the dead? Have you believed in that? Are you trusting in that? God loves you. But will you accept his love? Will you accept his love? Will you stand with me? Heavenly Father, as we go into this time of invitation today, Lord, our only response is to accept your love, to accept what you did on the cross for our sins, Lord, to trust you wholeheartedly, to begin to understand how much you have loved us, and Lord, for us to love you in return, because truly, until we learn how to love you, Lord, we really can't love others as we should. But Lord, you have made that possible. From the moment we're saved, Lord, your Spirit comes into our hearts and lives and begins to teach us what it means to love you and to love others. Lord, I pray today that if there's someone here who has not accepted that gift of love, that Valentine of Jesus Christ, Lord, I pray today would be the day that they put their faith and trust in you. But Lord, I also realize that we as Christians can know you, but sometimes our lives don't show that we love others. And so, Lord, I pray today that you would just convict our hearts there. And Lord, if there's an issue we need to deal with, that Lord, we wouldn't try to sweep it under the rug or hide it in the closet, Lord, but that we would confess our sins to you so that we can find grace and forgiveness. But Lord, help us also to have the boldness to not stay where we are, but to head in the direction you want us to go. Lord, I pray today that you would just move in our hearts and lives as only you can. Lord, I pray that we would be obedient to everything you would ask us to do today. And I pray it in the name of Jesus.